the rest of this apology has been completed in much shorter time and at great expense.
So you're part of the 1%?
No, I drink whole milk.
Oh. Yeah, I don't even have a joke for that. That's kind of a stopper. Yeah. I thought we were rolling into a thing, but no.
James just fucking killed it. God damn it.
I
don't know if you've met me.
We are almost an hour off from when we normally start this thing.
We're riffing, and then James fucking...
Done.
That's...
Fuck it.
That is
all right. I didn't want to go to bed tonight. This is
greetings,
fine.
Greetings, Apropos. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
Oh, with your host,
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard sometimes.
It's been an evening already.
It's hard sometimes being the guy who starts us off trying to find a good spot to come in. Because just when you think, it was just like, oh, here it comes. Nope, James.
No, James is drinking whole milk. That's fine. Yep. It's whatever. God damn it, James.
Oh, my God. That's going to be shorthand from now on. James, you're drinking whole milk again.
I am often the source of shorthand.
I got to be the source of shorthand this weekend. We can talk about that.
Oh, that's my memoirs, the source of shorthand.
The source of shorthand.
We're not drinking milk. We're drinking alcohol.
Yeah.
Because we're adults and shit.
Jenna, what have you got?
I have got Duluth Cider Gitch.
Oh.
Gitch
you some?
It just says Gitch.
It's just Gitch.
I'm sure it's short for like Gitchy Gumi or whatever, but...
Oh, yeah, that would make sense.
Semi-sweet cider. And I'm going to open this.
Yep.
Oh, God.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, now I regret opening mine too soon.
Yeah, it's just...
Oh, my God, James. Honestly, like, sometimes I think that Salsa is an impatient person. But the fact that you're still alive is... That's enough. This is very tasty, by the way.
Thank you. James and I, on the other hand, are drinking from Rock County Brewing Company in Janesville, Wisconsin. Hockey beer.
Hell yeah.
Does it come with a puck?
That's literally what it's called. Hockey beer.
I don't like to ask my beer personal questions like that.
This is a stick. This is a traditional German style ale, light and easy drinking with a touch of subtle fruitiness and a crisp, clean finish. Let me just crack that can open.
Oh. Wow, mine was way more satisfying.
That was disappointing.
Yeah.
Mm.
Jesus.
Well, is it a little fruity?
It is,
like hockey, I guess.
It's kind of got a
the boy aquarium.
It's almost Belgian, but not quite.
All right,
but it's got that. Yeah, it
has a really pleasant roundness to it.
Yeah, it's refreshing, and there's the fruitiness of the. And this is going to sound weird, Jenna. You're not going to understand what I mean by that, but the fruitiness of the hop. Like the hop juiciness.
I don't believe that that's a thing. I think you're lying to me. It's
different from like the grapefruit hoppiness. There's a like a.
It's like a green juice. If that makes sense.
No.
It's a flavor that I associate with sunset wheat. When Liney's used to make the sunset wheat.
Yeah.
Where it's almost like a. Not the berry vice berry flavor, but it almost has like an actual berry,
like a berry Manilow
fruitiness to it.
Anyway, that's yep.
All right,
drinking some hockey beer.
That's delightful.
I'm drinking it because I'd like to announce that the Walter Cup champion is now not yet decided.
Oh. You think it'll be decided by the time this comes out?
No.
Because
it's coming out tomorrow and there's not a game tomorrow.
It
was real close to being decided because the Victoire are 2-0 and then the Charge won today.
Well.
So, it's another elimination game, but it's really interesting because... no matter who wins, one person in the world is going to have three rings.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's it. Because mm-hmm. there's one person on each team that was with the Frost for the first 2 years when they got their cups. Mm-hmm. So either way, no matter which team wins, there will be one person who can boast that they're the only person with all three rings.
That's awesome.
Which is pretty cool.
Oh, my God.
That would be, like, to three-peat, that would be pretty dope.
See, I would just be, like, near a nervous breakdown over it if I was one of those two people. Like, mm-hmm.
But can you imagine the bragging rights of being...
Right. And that's why I'd be freaking out. This is why I don't play hockey. It has nothing to do with my complete inability, which
I
can't.
It's not the lack of ability to skate.
Yeah, I can barely ice skate.
Yeah.
Don't care for it. I can't play hockey. But, like, it's that anxiety.
Yeah.
It's not having to buy hockey really pads in child sizes. Mm-hmm.
Shut up, dude. I did actually recently buy roller skates, and I had to get some pads. And I was like, I'll just get the child size because it comes in neat patterns, but it was actually too small for me.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. I suppose I should have gone for the 8-year-old as opposed to the 6, but whatever.
It reminds me of the opposite of, and this was like a decade ago, and I don't remember the exact team, so I'm going to get this a little wrong. Don't hate me.
I hate you already.
But it was like I think it was like the Red Wings and the Penguins, where like the Red Wings and the Penguins met each other in the Stanley Cup final, and like the Penguins won. And then there was one player on the Red Wings team that was traded to the Penguins. Mm-hmm. And then the Red Wings and the Penguins met each other again in the Stanley Cup Finals, and the Red Wings won that year.
Oh, that poor player.
They just can't fucking win.
No, he just...
No.
And then that person was never heard from again.
Poor guy.
Nobody wanted him.
Just fucking poison. Anyway, but yeah, that's what we're drinking, and it's delicious. So I'll... talk about what I've been doing, because the beer is from Janesville, which is where I was.
What?
I was in Janesville.
Thank you for this, by the way.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. Janesville Renaissance Festival. It's a fun one that I do. It is a festival that is near and dear to me because it is one of the very first ones that I did outside of Minnesota. Mm. They do a lot of charity work. They do a lot of scholarships and stuff like that. So a lot of the money that they take in goes to back to the community, as opposed to paying us, which means it is one of my lowest paying festivals, but I don't care because it's
amazing,
worth it, and the crowds are still pretty fucking good.
Great.
I love this festival. Get to see all my friends and hang out with them and all of that, and it was a good time this year. The festival itself was a little bit on shaky ground, and I mean that literally, because Janesville had some horrible flooding like a month ago. So like the park that the festival site is on is right next to the river in like the valley, the river valley.
Oh my.
And so the whole park was underwater. Like, not just, like, soggy, but, like, literally under the water. And so there was a lot of questions about whether this festival was even going to happen this year. And it managed to dry out enough, and they had to kind of, like, reconfigure the footprint of the site a little bit to avoid some of the places that were still a little soggy.
Sure.
They did a great job. They did what they needed to do, and they made the festival go off without a hitch, and it was a delight. The weather was, holy cow, it was like 85 sunny the first day, and it was like 79 and sunny the second day.
Oh, wow.
Like, the weather was pretty fucking good, as long as you wore sunscreen and drank water, because it was also humid. Because we had some thunderstorms roll through and stuff like that. But otherwise, the crowds came out to play. The crowds were having a good time.
Where exactly is Janesville located again?
Janesville is south of Madison.
Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah, kind of close to the Illinois border.
All right.
Not super close, but kind of between Madison and Illinois.
I was just curious, roughly where you were talking about, so...
Yep, down in the southern Wisconsin area.
Huh.
It was an absolute delight. I enjoyed myself immensely.
Sounds fantabulous.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm glad they were able to sort of put everything together after the flooding.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I said, they did a shit ton of work to make it go.
Only imagine.
And I mean, that festival has just been getting bigger and bigger every year. Like, this is its 19th year. Yeah, it's been going a long time, and it keeps getting bigger every year. And so, yeah, they were already like, we were already having to reconfigure where things were just because it was getting bigger as it was, and then we had to figure out how to avoid certain spots. So, like, some stages were in slightly different places that they had been in previous years.
Yeah.
And like,
okay, sure.
A couple, like, they had the raptor stage and the, like, human combat stage. Like, they had to swap which side, the two stages, because they were like, we can't have people in armor fighting in the, like, mud, because they will just fucking rip up the ground.
Right.
So.
Right.
I agree with their assessment
exactly.
on that.
Exactly. Yeah. So because, like, I want to say 8 or 9 years ago, they had a year where it rained a lot, and the ground just got so damp, and just the people walking around in cars and stuff like that destroyed the grass. And they had to spend a lot of money to resod the park. And they were like, we don't want to... we would like to not have to deal with that again.
Correct, yeah.
But it went off. The people showed up. We had huge crowds lined up outside the gate. People were still coming in at 2-3 in the afternoon. Wow. You know.
Damn.
Yeah.
And
that's the mark of good weather, is when people are just solidly arriving until functionally it closes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm sorry, the place closes in 3 hours. What are you doing? You should have been here like 4 hours ago, dude. Seriously. Just people still showing up, doing their thing. So, yeah, I had some great shows.
Amazing.
It was, again, on Saturday, it was fantastic. Like, it was sunny and people were there to have fun and there was no wind. And then Sunday, it got a little cloudy in the afternoon and the wind started to pick up and I lost a little bit of facial hair on those. But, other than that, yeah, the fire came back and
you still look covered.
Yeah. I definitely have not like needed to go to the burn ward or any shit like that. But I definitely like, there was a few fire blasts today where it was like, it was like, oh, lost a little bit something there. Yeah.
A little back hair on that one.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that was a good time.
Hair of the salsa.
That bit me.
Yeah.
Ew. But
I stand by what I said.
Yeah, me too.
So do I. But no, the other thing that I did was on Thursday I went to the opera.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
What did you see?
I saw Pagliacci.
Oh.
I know, right?
I
fucking love Pagliacci. It is so, and I finally got to see it live, and it was perfect.
Wow.
It was like their staging was beautiful. And their lighting was amazing. And their casting was fucking spot on. And like everything was their vocalists were just nailing it, and just the passion and the pain and everything like that. And the setting was they had moved it to a more modern setting, but like in the 30s.
Oh,
so
wow.
Like it was like a Depression era clown troupe type thing going on.
Wow!
But it started out where Tonio comes out and everything is in a warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got like rusty iron eye bar, like framed everything like that, with like the glass windows with like broken panes and stuff like that up above.
Very Batman,
and
then the animated series.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And everything is covered in tarps and canvas and stuff like that.
That's how you make it period.
You know, and then Tonio comes in and he like starts like pulling back the canvas, like, and like unearthing, and he's like, he and the in the opera, Tonio comes out and tells everybody, I'm about to tell you a story, you know? Yeah. And that's, so what they framed this was Tanya was like telling everybody and like remembering the time. And then he like pulls off the canvas and then the lighting goes, you know, and comes on and then the lights are there. And then you're transported back to you know, like the 30s and the Depression era type thing. And all the cast comes out in there. Just fantastic.
That sounds gorgeous. Yeah. How long is it running?
I don't actually know.
Yesterday.
Yeah, right. It might be done by now at this point. I don't know. Actually, no. Like I said, the vocalists were just it was so good. And they used their lighting really effectively. Like whenever Tanya was being super gross, like the lighting like went red, you know, and stuff like that. And the very ending, like the whole stage is in this just red wash, like as there's blood and dying and stuff like that happening. Except Tanya is in the middle in his modern clothing, and he's in a stark, cold white light. So he's almost black and white in this sea of like red. And it was just, it was really, really good.
Nice.
And yeah, and at the end, like, we got to the ending of the first act where, you know, the famous aria by Pagliacci, Ridi Pagliaccio, you know, and like afterwards my wife was like, yeah, I recognize that song. I didn't know that's what this was, where that was from. Like,
yeah.
Right.
That's this one,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it was really good. I cannot speak highly enough of it. It was gorgeous.
Carmen,
I was
for the first time
just absolutely crying my eyes out at the end of both acts, like just so full of emotion. And like, even like my wife, you know, didn't know anything about the story or anything like that. And it is like Pagliacci Canio is not a good guy. Like,
right.
He's kind of a jealous, abusive, you know, husband. But, like, she was like, even coming from that standpoint, like, finding out that your wife is cheating on you still has to sting.
Right.
So like, sure.
So when he's like, you know, I have to go out on stage and just smile and you know, even though my heart's breaking, she was like, even though I don't like the guy, I still had to go... Oh, that's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
So, it was so, so fucking good. I have just renewed my subscription for next season.
Fantabulous.
So I will be going to all the opera next year. There is no Pagliacci, which is unfortunate, but there is going to be Falstaff.
Oh, hell yeah.
Which I'm really looking forward to that one. It's going to be a 3-production season.
Okay.
Which is, you know, this year was 4 and next year is going to be 3, but what are you going to do?
Go see all 3, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But Falstaff is the third one that's going on. The first one is it's an opera based on... a graphic novel.
Ooh.
And it is... What is it called? I'm trying to remember. It is called... fuck. That's not what it's called.
Ah.
It's not called fuck.
It is...
Well, what the heck?
No, that's...
Salsa is currently connecting to a series of tubes. Reticulating splines.
I am not finding the correct...
Your spline.
Man-splining?
I mean, yeah, probably.
Probably.
There we go. It is called The Many Deaths of Layla Starr.
Oh. Okay.
Mm. So it is an opera based on that graphic novel.
I have heard many good things.
Yes.
Yes.
As have I. The second one is Ariodante, takes place in Scotland, for those that don't know. And the third one, like I said, Falstaff.
So, yeah, very nice.
Definitely looking forward to this coming season. Mm-hmm. But my wife was just like, because we did this you know 1 year membership thing, and we're like, we'll give it a try and we'll see. It was a bit on the pricey side, but like,
sure.
Right,
you know, it seemed like a good thing to support the arts. And like after Pagliacci, like we're walking out and I'm just like crying, and yeah. She's like, let's renew this. This is good for you. Like you clearly get something out of this. So yeah. My Wonderful. Wife is the best.
That's true. She really is.
Yeah.
So that's what I did.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Well, I saw some theater.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I saw this show. So I went to this mansion.
Oh, yes. You've been talking about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had it pulled up. I know I don't. Because I can never remember.
Same problem I had.
Yeah. I can never remember how to pronounce it. Fefu? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fefu and Her Friends, which is being produced by Theatre Pro Rata. Mm-hmm. And it's happening at the Surly
Brewing?
No.
No. mansion. It's at a mansion.
Difference. Yeah.
I'm going with Surly.
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 Surly. No.
Kind of.
Okay.
But yeah,
the Sierra Leone mansion. Got it.
Sure.
Just like
good
that.
Good luck finding it. and I have to say, what a weird fucking play.
Yeah.
Like it just is a weird fucking play. It's great. It's wonderful. I enjoyed myself. I left going, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. But all of the performances were fantastic. It felt a little bit like Great Gatsby.
Oh yeah,
with kind of that these are privileged people problems in certain ways, and they're trying to be intellectual and solve world issues and all this other stuff. But it was also surreal,
yeah,
in a lot of ways too. So, yeah, and I don't want to ruin anything for anybody that might go see it, which you fucking should
if they can.
Yeah,
I think. All but one of the nights is completely sold out, and one of them has just like.
I think one of them has like there's a wait list.
Handful of tickets.
Yeah,
maybe. Yeah.
So yeah, go check out Theatre Pro Rata and see if you can get some tickets.
Yeah. But,
I will say it's broken into three parts because you figure this out pretty quick. Mm-hmm. I think because they tell you up front. So there's the first act, which all happens. You get seated into different groups. Mm-hmm. And there's the first act, which happens in front of you, seated around a specific area for the play. And then the second act, you break out into your four groups, and your usher guides you to various rooms to see various scenes. Mm-hmm. And then the third act, everybody comes back to the same initial main room, and you see the rest of the play. And it's very fun to, you know, get up and walk around in the middle of a play. What? But, you know, to be able to move into these different areas, it really plays with the brain's perception on things. Mm-hmm. And it's super fun. But, yeah, it does really add to this whole surreal aspect. Just what? With a lot of that written into the script itself anyway. So there was one performer who did a fantastic job and basically had an entire scene to themselves. Boy howdy, I cannot imagine monologuing for 10 minutes. That's a lot. So bonus points to that person. But everybody was really good. Like it was just fantastic performances from everybody all around. And yeah, like just, it was also like before the play, you're walking up to this mansion and you're just like, yes, look at me, how fancy I am.
Gorgeous.
And yeah. It's stunning.
You start walking with your spine a little straighter, like...
Yeah, well, suddenly my posture's better, and
my
pinky was out. Boink. Yep. Whoa.
Ejector seat pinky.
Awkward. Yeah.
But yeah, so you, but then you're just like, well, I've got time, and you just start taking pictures of various aspects of the room you're in and the little hallway and everything. Look at these pictures. So, but yeah, what, so very fun. In poetry, there's found poetry, and I feel like this was found theater space, like just found theater, to a certain extent. I really enjoyed it. So yeah, I saw theater then, and then on Thursday I saw Jester's Improv.
Wonderful.
And y'all, you should really just go check them out. It's on Thursdays, I think it's like the second Thursday of every month, they're at the New Hope Cinema Grill.
Oh.
And it's a lot of us are just repeat customers every month, like because it's a good time. But it's a good time. Yeah, I think they're getting tired of the same suggestion of Red Panda from me. So, you know, maybe go check them out. They're also playing this Friday at Torg Brewery.
Hell yeah.
Torg.
Which is a fantastic brewery. Which I don't normally say about breweries, but they also have seltzers. So
they've got really good seltzers.
They've got really good seltzers.
They've got really good NA options too.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
They really do.
Almost any of their seltzers, they're happy to make into a soda.
I believe they have a gruit as well.
That would make sense.
I think so. Yeah, I think you're correct in your assessment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I was there last, they had a lilac soda.
Yeah,
which was. Lilac or lavender? One of the purples.
So grape?
Different. Well, I mean, they probably grape. Have a grape too.
Grape. Oh.
Which, as everybody knows, is Greek for love. So
I thought that was a grape.
Yes. As they say, some jokes are just for us. Some jokes are just for salsa.
Yo, God, no, he's absolutely loving this joke. Listeners, you can't tell because of the lack of laughter. But
having
he's,
an apoplectic he's, fit right now is...
I'm good.
You know what?
Somehow.
Have fun for that
somehow
one,
James. Somehow I made salsa see red.
God damn it, that's it. Even though I'm angry at you, that was
that
a good joke.
Was good.
That was a solid joke.
Not the thing that happened before.
Yeah, not that other thing.
Not that thing. But, you know,
I'm livid, but I will still acknowledge a good joke.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Mm. They've got one that is peppermint based. That I like to get when I'm there. I like mint.
That
I don't know if you
good.
Knew. So, yeah. I did those things. I did another thing over the weekend, but I'll come right back to that. After I spent a few days doing a lot of hard work, I got home and I did a bunch of lawn stuff.
Hashtag just lawn things.
Just lawn things. Mm-hmm. I have planted my dry herb garden bed.
Mm-hmm. It's nice. You don't have to water it.
Yeah, that's not what that means, buddy. there's a part of my yard that has grainier dirt than the other part of the yard. And so that's your woody herbs, your rosemary, your sage. Mm-hmm. I put some lavender in there. It's not an herb, but it's not an herb.
Yeah.
And I fucking love lavender, so meh.
There you go.
So I got that. I already had it mostly turned, so I finished turning it and threw that down. And then I had, I did a bunch of lawn weeding and threw down some more clover seed, to try to get a little bit more going in the front there. Well, because I've been doing, but it's short clover, so it shouldn't grow much, so I shouldn't need to mow it as often.
You don't need to trim it back.
No, it should be pretty good on its own. Yeah. Well, I mean, everything got run down when I was putting in the new boxes
for
along
sure.
the edge. So
absolutely, yeah. That is. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah,
You do a lot of work on the box, and
yeah,
Clover's going to look a little run down.
It's going to look a little run down.
That's so fair.
Yeah, put some seed out. The last thing I really, there's a couple more things I want to do with my yard. Mm-hmm. One of them is there's a bed along the fence that I want to make a little bit longer and put mm-hmm. my moist herbs.
I was... The problem with me joking about things is that they come true, is the problem.
Yep.
Yes, that's the problem.
Yes.
I substantially, that is the largest problem.
Mm.
Like, imagine if a bad joke just passes unremarked and then is never heard from again.
Oh, wouldn't that be a lovely thing?
Oh, yeah.
But then, if it comes true... So your wet herbs.
My wet herbs.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to get that done soon. Because that's my chives. I want my chives.
Yeah.
Like, there's a bunch of... There's, like, 9 different plants that I want to get out mm-hmm. of my herb mm-hmm. box, but... My wet herbs. Mm-hmm. But the chives are the one that I love chives. Mm-hmm. Put them in everything.
Understandable.
Yeah. It's because they're delicious.
They are.
So that's like the last thing I need to do there. And then the way back where it's all like portioned off, like it's just a mm-hmm. section of earth surrounded by cement and house.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm going to put my lemon bulb and my mint.
Ah.
Because those are both super growers.
Yeah.
They will take over a space. So mm-hmm. if I put them in the way back there where they can just fight each other for space in the back.
Sure.
And they tend to do very well together. So.
Mm-hmm.
That's my plan. That's the other thing that I want to get done. So mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm kind of saving that for last because it's the best growing space and the hardiest plants. So if they get planted a little late, it's not going to be the end of the world.
Yeah.
And they should make it through.
I've got to get stuff planted and start laying down cardboard to murder the stuff that we don't want.
Yeah. That's what I was doing last week and the week before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Murdering. So, yeah.
Murdering.
Yeah.
Well, with the rocks and the sure. whatnot. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what I did. And then the other thing that I did that weekend, I did a fencing booth thing with James
on Sunday. Oh, yeah. I did do a fencing
and
booth
Saturday
thing.
And Friday.
With Jenna.
Yeah. James and I went to Girl Scout camp.
Yep.
He makes an awkward Girl Scout, but there you are.
Yeah, the sash is a little tight in the shoulders.
Well, you know, you gotta get more patches so that you can stretch it out a bit.
Yeah.
It's like cornstarch.
We've both met me. That's not gonna happen.
No.
No.
But no, we went to the fencing booth, went to a Girl Scout camp to teach them how to do fencing.
Yeah. What a delight.
You know, it was my first time. James has done it before.
Also part of the delight. Yeah.
And I had a lovely time. I'll let you talk about most of it, but the one thing that absolutely tickled me was I have a million allergies
mm-hmm.
and sensitivities and intolerances to food.
Mm-hmm.
And I showed up and the cook was like, they didn't give me any of the allergen lists.
Oh.
And she was so concerned because one of the people, one of the main volunteers knows me and knew I had a million different dietary restrictions. And so she gave the heads up to the chef who was like, oh, come on. But the chef was like, all right, I've got everything planned, but I want you to go through and see if there are things you can eat.
Nice.
I have other things we can do for you. I'm like, it's cool. Like, I brought a whole bunch of snacks and things. And she's like, no, you will eat. I'm like, oh God. Yes, ma'am. She was intense about it.
She's great.
She's wonderful. Yeah. But she was like, and all right, so here's what we've got. And she, the thing is, so she had all of the meals planned out. Mm-hmm. And she listed all of the ingredients mm-hmm. on these sheets of paper. And she's talking with me about it. And she's like, so for like tacos, here's what I have. And this and this. And I'm like, yes, I can read. Like, but then she also like had me read the ingredients off of the boxes of things, like the spice blend. She wanted to make sure I could have that, like all of that.
Yep.
She was so good thorough. And so kind. And yes, I had plenty to eat. To the point where she was so intense about it. I don't eat breakfast.
Yeah.
But she made breakfast that I could eat, and therefore I had to eat it. Like that was.
Yep.
She just comes out and she's like, "Hey, Jenna, your oatmeal's ready." And I'm like, "I'm not ready for my oatmeal." Okay. Yes,
well.
Yes, ma'am.
Sticks to your ribs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the problem. Like, I legitimately just don't eat until like lunch, really.
I can't even imagine.
Food does not appeal to me at all for the first few hours of the day. Coffee, yes. Food, no.
Sure.
So. Anyway, but yeah, you want to talk more about the fencing booth thing, James?
Sure. In brief, they have us up there as one of their daytime activities.
Sure.
And so troops, one or more troops, sometimes two, will show up and we will kit them out, have them fence each other several times, and then we'll mm-hmm. usually convince some of the chaperones to fence each other, which is always great because they're mm-hmm. bloodthirsty.
Yes.
After watching a bunch of girls, slowly.
Some of those counselors have frustrations to work out. They may not be allowed to take it out in other ways, so they take it out in the ring, which is fine.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. But we had enough people who ringmaster this year that I think everybody just had one daytime shift.
Yeah.
Which is
I didn't even ringmaster.
Crazy pants. It was really... It was warm, but it wasn't the heat. It was the sun, the direct sunlight.
It was. There was a lot of direct sunlight.
And then the dust, because the... The ring was, because we've always fenced in the Gaga ball pit.
Right.
They have a regulation Gaga ball pit, and the first year that we were there.
Also, this weekend I learned that there's a thing called Gaga ball.
I've got kids. I have heard about Gaga ball for years.
So
I still have no fucking idea how it's played. I've never seen it played.
Do you remember the red kickball balls?
Yeah.
Apparently that's a part of it.
Okay.
It's dodgeball without throwing is basically.
I've had it explained to me multiple times. Sure. I still have no fucking idea.
So yep, they have a regulation pit there, and the first year that we showed up as the fencing booth and closed that, I thought we would be murdered.
The children would riot.
They very nearly did. They were real upset. That the pit was being... And then as soon as the pit was back open, they were immediately in it. Watching us close it was like, I guess, watching a friend die. And then they were... We had people buzzing the pit all weekend waiting for it to be reopened.
So I was told very specifically when I showed up, if anybody complains, there is another pit in the day camp, and you just point them that way.
Yeah.
And I guess this is why I was told that, was because apparently it was such a big deal the first year.
It was. And, like, again, the instant that everything was cleaned up and moved away from the ring, there was just, a pile of kids in there. There was that. But the last few years that we've done it, they've been thrilled. There's been absolutely no complaint.
No pushback.
Closing. And the first year, we didn't have a lot of signups. But since then, every single one of the shifts, each one of the four shifts has been filled.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We've had at least one troop. And
I think one of them was 3 troops this year.
Yeah.
Like, it was insane.
People are enthusiastic to be there, almost universally. I think this is the first year where we've had someone be like, I kind of don't want to do this. And she did give it a try. It wasn't, you know, like, legitimately, she...
And that's fine.
And, yeah. And we were like, hey, if you're ready to be done, great. We'll put more people in. We'll just, we'll get other people in there. And she was like, okay, great. You don't... Yeah.
I'm good.
But we also started doing a tournament afterwards.
Yeah.
The...
I was an entire committee.
You were.
Yay.
Great job.
Thank you.
You did a fantastic job. It actually went far more smoothly this year than it ever has. And
So put Jenna in charge and things blame you.
That is what I have learned in my life.
I feel like I keep teaching that lesson over and over again.
I've heard
the last
this
decade of my life has proven out. We've done a tournament, and we've learned important things. This year, it went incredibly smoothly, and very quickly. The winner received a camera,
And she was actually very excited about it too.
Yeah.
Like, that could have gone either way.
It could. Mm-hmm. It could have.
Yeah.
But it was a real film camera instead of a digital camera.
Ooh. Yeah, like a disposable.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Okay. But still.
Yeah, because fewer things can go wrong with a disposable camera, but it becomes a keepsake with real actual photos that you get from it.
Yeah,
which I think is way more exciting on the back end of that than you know. Yeah. Oh, okay. Digital camera. Okay. These will go on my computer and I will never look at them again.
Yeah.
Versus something that produces a series of keepsakes.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think it really does depend on the individual.
It does depend on
the individual. It is kind of one of those... we took a gamble and it did pay off.
It paid off.
She was excited.
Yeah.
So.
But, and we asked, you know, of the photos that this thing can take, do you want the first one to be everybody here from the booth?
Yeah.
And
she was like, absolutely, yes.
So the first photo that she will have is of all of us and her.
Yep.
So, you know, solid. Had a really good time, but yeah, I definitely, it cooked me half to death. Got a couple of good night's sleep. Got to hang out with a bunch of friends and play card games.
Yeah.
Got fed really well.
Oh, my God. And intensely.
Yes, yeah.
You
big
will
mom
eat.
Energy, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's been a while since anybody's, like, threatened me about...
It's been a while since anybody has made me feel threatened. Jesus.
Yeah, Jenna doesn't threaten easily.
I do not. She was... Oh, man. Nope. Yeah. You're not fighting her.
I loved it because they were like, come on. There's like...
Is there wef within me?
5 cinnamon rolls left. You can take 1 cinnamon roll. If this was a regular cinnamon roll salsa, yes.
Oh, God.
I did end up taking one.
As big as James's head.
But they are enormous. These are dinner plate cinnamon rolls. Yeah.
Each roll in and of itself is 5 meals.
Yep.
It was
a family of 4.
I'm the only person that can get away with no. Don't feed me.
Yeah.
And I did end up taking another cinnamon roll. I was like, all right, I'll okay. We hydrated like
so much.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I did walk down by the lake and I got to see a bunch of birds.
Yeah.
I took a picture at one point when the kids were fencing.
Mm-hmm.
There were some predator birds circling overhead.
Mm-hmm.
So I took a picture and one of my birder friends was like, oh, those are turkey vultures.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on that day we saw turkeys. So, like,
mm-hmm.
they're not doing their job.
Those turkeys were alive.
Vultures are scavengers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those turkeys were just out in the middle of a field.
They want Thanksgiving leftovers.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what they're about.
That's really funny. I like that.
God damn it, James. You're doing well tonight. I don't know how I feel about it.
Nobody does. I don't know how to feel about it either. Yeah. A surprising number of birds. The first time that I've ever heard a loon call in the wild.
Oh, really?
I've been camping. I've heard whippoorwills. I've heard woodpeckers. I've heard all kinds of different... so many different birds. This was the first actual loon that I've heard in the wild.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And it just, like, it felt good.
It was nice. Yeah, because I heard the loon and I was like, oh, yay. This is lovely. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah. As much as I've been camping, as many places as I've been, I've just, wrong place, wrong time.
I am shocked by that.
Yeah, so we've kind of got the system down now of load in and load out, cleaning up all the everything.
Everything went really smoothly from my end of it. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Of course it did.
Right. there was one thing that we forgot. And that was nobody brought a DVD of something. Usually we will watch a DVD movie like Sleepy Hollow something as people, just because it's got kind of that high school lock-in vibe.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
No, where we're staying. And so having a movie on the little TV that they've got pinned up on the wall, it feels correct.
And we couldn't have fires. There was a burn ban.
No fire.
That's the part that I was bummed about. Because
it was so dry leading up. And that was also why it was so dusty in the in the ball pit, because was
dry.
Yeah, super, super dry.
Yeah, I was downwind of the pit. Mm-hmm. It was dry, but then I was also getting... It was the right... conditions for my latex allergy to actually catch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's like
floating in on the wind. Yeah.
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 So.
But it went really well. One of my favorite things, probably my favorite thing of the weekend, other than that this was Jenna's first year and we got to experience it with her.
Yay.
Was that somebody signed up for the tournament who had never done this before.
Oh, she was my favorite.
Signed up for the whole big tournament is facing people who not only have done this earlier in the weekend, mm-hmm. but who have done this a couple years in a row.
Previous years, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And some of them won before.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's crazy pants. She didn't know. She was like, my friend just told me I should sign up.
Sure.
And... She did get knocked out in the first round, but she did a great job.
She held her own.
Did she have fun?
Yes, that was the other thing.
The whole like, as long as you're having fun, fuck it.
Afterward, but... she was like, this thing, you know, blah blah blah. And I was like, well, did you enjoy the fencing match? And she was like, yeah.
Like...
I was like, are you gonna do this again next year? And she's like, Yeah.
No, because the girls had to check in with me afterwards to make sure I get the right names and everything for who won and who lost. She comes to check in. I'm like, did you have a good time? She's like, oh, yeah. That was so much fun. I'm like, you did fantastic. Because I think she even took one of the balloons.
She did. And her defense was... We saw a lot of people take balloons offensively, just going full out.
Yeah.
There was very little sword play, very little back and forth. It was almost all footwork and just raw swipes at stuff. This girl was like deflecting incoming attacks. That was amazing.
No, she did fantastically. Yeah. And she was just so nice and so sweet about everything too.
Yeah. But yeah, that was kind of the highlight of my weekend up there. Just like seeing somebody have a great time is it always puts me in a better mood.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was fantastic.
Yeah. I learned a new card game, too, which is great.
Oh.
Yes. It's called Pitch.
Okay.
Oh, Pitch. That's not what I had heard.
Oh, yeah. Different. Different.
What did you hear?
Bitch.
Oh.
When they were talking about the name of the game, I thought it was like bullshit or fucking... Yeah.
I see.
Horse slap or whatever.
Cunts.
Those kind of card games, though, right?
Deal like, me in.
Egyptian rat fuck.
Right,
like,
yeah.
You know, just cards of that. So, yeah, I, until this moment, thought that they had taught you how to play bitch.
Now I wonder if I misheard.
Oh, my God.
Was pitch.
This is the best conversation I've ever been a part of.
So,
I'm fairly confident I have heard of the game Pitch.
Yeah.
So, like, as soon as you said Pitch, I was like, oh, that probably makes more sense. But I shall play it as Bitch.
Yes.
Continue.
Yeah, for sure.
Is it a fast-paced 2-to-8 player trick-taking card game?
Yes.
Okay.
What is it called?
I'm excited. He's looking up both right now. The other one's going to be like a fast-paced 2-to-8 player trick-taking card game.
Is it a regional shedding and melding card game most popular in Eastern Canada where the objective is to discard all cards to end the round?
No.
Then it is Pitch, not Bitch.
Ooh. That means we can bring a new card game next year. Yes. All right.
Bitch is a Canadian card game. It typically uses two decks with jokers.
The
Queen of Spades is known as the Bitch and carries a heavy penalty and plays a major role in scoring.
This feels mildly racist. Anyway.
We'll figure
it
out.
Anyway. Well, yeah.
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 Nice.
So both of those exist.
Nice.
And you learned the less interestingly named one.
It sounded like they were having a good time, though.
Yeah. Well, okay. It is.
Were you having fun?
I did have fun.
All that matters.
Yes. Good job.
That's most of what it is.
I know it was your first time, and your friends told you you should sign up for it.
Right.
Yeah.
And they had been playing like last weekend and won.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. I mean,
no.
You tried.
Yeah,
did you take a few trips?
I got my ass handily beaten.
Oh.
But I did have a great time.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. Good. Good.
Excellent.
And then I drove home, and after having a night's sleep, I drove home and slept for fucking 8 hours.
Yeah.
Daylight hours. And then I got up, I did dishes, I made dinner. And then I went back to sleep for another 7 hours.
Yeah, I like how that's how you handled it. When I got back, I was like, well, time to do some yard work.
We're very different people.
We are very different people.
Thank God.
Right? And yeah, I didn't even get to bed until like midnight. Yeah. Like,
yeah, Jax had things to do on Sunday. Jax went to their niece's dance recital. Aww. And then was going to go catch a burlesque show, because there's a nerdy burlesque show.
Sure.
Just the one, though. Not, you know,
no.
Dozens of them.
Right.
And so they were about to head to one of those, and they went, tired. And so we had not... from the previous week, because of COVID quarantine and just, you know, being safe, mm-hmm. as safe as possible and waiting for, you know, negative tests and all of that stuff.
Sure.
We had not been in the same room for more than like 2 minutes for like a week and a half. And then... One day after my second negative test, or like the evening mm-hmm. of my second negative test, they got to come in and sleep next to me. And then, 2 days later, 3 days later,
something
I'm leaving
like
for the whole weekend.
Yep.
And so, yeah, we got back and we just like snuggled in and slept.
That does sound nice.
For just the afternoon. And watched a couple of things in the evening. Watched another episode of Fallout. Watched a couple of the things on Dropout TV. And then passed out again. It was amazing. But yeah, just the sun, the dust, the heat, the everything.
It was a lot.
It was.
Yeah. yeah.
But it was a great time.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Should we take a break?
I think this is a fantastic
plan. I think so.
All right, let's do it. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
It's the end of the last segment. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, I think I can wait.
We'll just do it.
We've all been there.
Go into the outro. What?
Oh, I'll be going to the outro.
Oh, yeah?
Please don't.
It's just we just follow the microphone cable.
It's like the Naked Gun where she's got the cordless mic. Oh, yeah.
Pick up the microphone cable off of the carpet. Jenna passed around here 2, maybe 5 minutes ago.
Yep.
See, again, we were riffing, and then James talked.
This is starting to become a you problem, not a me problem.
This is a you problem.
Your expectations are very different from reality.
No. There's no expectations here.
This man's cracking open like one of those...
No expectations.
No, you were the one that was cracking things open, James. Yeah. That was the problem.
Yeah.
There was no expectation, and we were not disappointed.
I feel like you're getting one of those banquet $1 pot pies.
Those are delicious.
Those are delicious.
I love those.
And being upset that those. It's not as flaky and crispy as it probably could be.
I don't care. Those are amazing.
They're fantastic.
I eat those two at a time.
They're now like $1.50 or something.
But they're still cheaper than a lot of things.
The ones over at Aldi are $1.
Oh.
Yeah. And they're actually, they're nice. Yeah.
No, we get a variety of them, and I'll do like one chicken and one beef, and then that'll be my lunch. Oh. It is just like two of those pot pies.
Do you make them in the microwave or
oven?
In the oven?
Absolutely.
If you put them in the oven just a little bit before they're done, put a little butter on the crust.
I do spray oil, but yeah, it's the same thing. Oil. Also, I use a toaster oven.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I do the same thing with Aldi's shepherd's pie and sprinkling cheese on the top.
Okay.
Obviously, I understand that's not for everybody, but...
Well...
Yeah.
I mean, I can't have the banquet chicken pot pies anymore either, so, you know.
I mean, that too.
So, here you can put all the cheese you want on it.
Yeah. Just dump it on there. It's fine.
Just put a fucking block on there. Well, she doesn't care.
I'm now picturing a banquet pot pie and all of its, like, what, 6-inch?
Like, yeah, like 5-inch.
Yeah, 5-6-inch glory with, like, a pound of cheese. Just fucking...
See, I'm picturing, like an igloo.
No, a brick of Velveeta just slapped just on top of that
melted.
Thing. Yeah, not only a little melted in this scenario.
You know, honestly...
twice the Velveeta that it is the pot pie.
So what you do is you get a block of Velveeta and you put a little bit of banquet pot pie on it.
Makes a perfect party dip.
You're a party dip.
That's true. Yeah. When I get there, the party dips.
Velveeta is one of those things that is abomination unto nature unless is used in one very specific instance.
What's your specific instance?
For cheese dip, for nacho cheese dip.
Okay.
Like, that is
of the various varieties of nacho cheese dip, though. Because you can do a Velveeta salsa mix, you can do Velveeta bean.
Yep.
You can do Velveeta bean and salsa, and that's just the holy trinity of Jesus Christ, what did I do to my crock pot?
Yeah, but and your insides, but yes.
Yeah. But yeah, like that
Oh my God, yeah, I would eat pounds of that.
Using Velveeta for any other purpose.
Yeah, it's pretty not sad. Intended
get these
for
straight
anything
to
else.
The seventh ring of hell. Like
your butthole will become the seventh and eighth rings.
There are eight.
Yes.
Right.
The eighth one is reserved. Well, there are nine in actuality, but
if your butthole has like nine rings, then like
the number of rings on the butthole that was concerning me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Salsa was picking up what I was putting down.
Like those. You need like some.
Ew.
That's a Joe-ism.
Why? That is somehow worse than seventh ring of hell butthole.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. I don't know. He's from the South.
Anyway, so my explanation for that is prolapse.
He did the thing again. He did the thing again. We were doing fine.
This was fun. We were having a good time,
and then he just.
Just a conversation guillotine.
Conversation guillotine is the name of my hit single.
Oh, yeah.
But hit is a very loose term.
Yeah.
Just like you.
Giggity?
Giggity? And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna. Wow.
I didn't know if you were going to say Jenna or
any number of other things, honestly.
Yeah, there was a banquet of options. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh, like pot pie.
Oh, yeah. Like a banquet pot pie of options.
Mm. Yes.
Mm. Pot pie.
Okay. Pot hey, chicken who, pot, who, wants, chicken pot. Who wants some facts?
Ooh, I like facts.
Who wants
facts.
Some trivia?
Yeah. Yeah.
This one is a fucking spider web. I have gone back and forth and struggled with which like angle to approach this one because this one has got all sorts of fun cool shit. So I've decided.
Is it the 4 a.m. conspiracy theory?
No,
I love that.
I have decided.
So good.
I have decided to center this one around John of Galt.
Oh, okay.
You may have heard of him.
Different from John Galt. Yeah.
Yeah, of the Galt.
Yes, of the Kensington Galt.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
John of Gaunt. Sorry. John of Gaunt. Galt is the Flemish town where he's from, which is why he's called John of Galt.
He's Gaunt of Galt?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's anglicized to Gaunt. Anyway. Huh.
All right.
Yes.
I've already thrown the entire thing.
Anyway. For those that know your history of England, when Richard II ascended the throne, he was a fucking child. Yeah. He was like 6 years old or some shit like that. John of Gaunt became the de facto regent of the country. He was never officially named a regent, but he was basically the guy in charge.
Sure.
Keeping that throne in trust. Richard was the king. But he was kind of the adult who knew what was going on that was doing things. Okay.
He was trusted with it.
Okay. John of Gaunt is at this fucking
epicenter
of a lot of stuff. But anyway, there's your history really quick on who this guy is.
Sure.
He is also the father of a
dude named Henry Bolingbroke. Okay. Who is Richard's...
I wonder how he lost his money.
Because he's he's Richard's... John of Gaunt is Richard's uncle, I should mention, by the way.
Okay.
He's Richard's uncle, which is why he's taking charge. His son, Henry Bolingbroke, is Richard's cousin. Sure. Henry Bolingbroke becomes Henry the Fourth when he fucking takes the throne from his cousin.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So,
got it.
John of Gaunt is now uncle to one king and now father to another one. He has two wives in his lifetime.
Okay.
And a mistress.
Okay. All right.
He, with his first wife, he has Henry, who becomes King Henry the Fourth. And, you know, and then Henry's son is Henry the Fifth, and going down the line. And then he has more children with his second wife and also with his first, and they go off and marry various other kings. Like, at one point, John of Gaunt could have become the King of Castile. Like, he is in the fucking center of a web. Like, he was related to the King of Navarre. He was
Genghis Khan.
All he had to basically do was go to Castile, and he would have been the King of Castile at one point. Like,
fascinating.
Like, he's married. Like, his children are marrying.
And he
kings
couldn't and be kings. Bothered.
But anyway, he's got this mistress. The mistress that this is his one true love. Okay. Oh.
Sure.
Eve, throughout these other marriages, he's got her on the side, and he has four children with her.
Okay.
They are all illegitimate children.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
John of Gaunt eventually gets old, and he's like, I'm old, fuck you all, I don't give a shit anymore, and he marries his mistress, and he legitimizes his children.
Oh.
All right.
Oh.
Which Parliament immediately freaks the fuck out.
Yeah.
Sure.
And says, okay. You can legitimize your children, but they cannot be legitimized for the purpose of royalty.
For succession, yeah.
Succession, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Like we're going to kind of half-legitimize them.
Yeah.
Like, okay, they're actually your kids. Like, okay, fine. But they can't do the whole royal thing.
Right.
And they're like, whew, we covered our ass on that one. except his grandchild, through his illegitimate daughter, just then becomes Henry the Seventh.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
And every noble, every king, from Henry the Seventh all the way to George...
Mm.
Is from that illegitimate.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean.
Through his, yeah, exactly. So, like, didn't work. Whoops. I'm going to back up a little bit here.
Okay.
His illegitimate, you know, his mistress, his true love, the woman he eventually marries, her sister was married to Geoffrey Chaucer.
Oh. All right.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
This is... Okay, so the next time somebody watches a Star Wars movie and they're like, R2-D2's in this one, too?
Yeah. Okay, no. It gets better. What do you know about Geoffrey Chaucer?
That he wrote the Canterbury Tales.
Yeah. What else do you know about Geoffrey Chaucer?
That he invented... He didn't invent as many words as...
you're right. He did invent some words.
But he invented a lot of words.
But like, nobody knows fuck all about Geoffrey Chaucer.
Yeah.
They know, he wrote a thing. That's literally all they know.
He was a writer and a talker, as far as I know.
Geoffrey Chaucer was... He grew up... He was the son of a wine merchant. He grew up... He became a page in a nobility court. Got to know some nobles.
Mm-hmm.
Went and fought in a war in it's called the Dutch War, very wonderfully named. Goes to war.
Was it with the Dutch?
Gets caught.
It happened in Georgia for some reason.
He gets imprisoned. He gets ransomed. Like he becomes friends with John of Gaunt.
Oh.
And becomes like part of the court. Like Geoffrey Chaucer, his kids. Played with King Richard II. Like, they were hanging out together.
All right.
Like, their families were doing the thing. Just like, they grew up together.
Sure. Huh.
Geoffrey Chaucer personally knew King Richard II, personally knew Henry IV, personally friends with John of Gaunt. To the point that when somebody was sent to France to do the whole negotiating for a bride for Richard II, Geoffrey Chaucer was the one who was sent to France.
Okay.
Oh.
To negotiate a marriage for Richard II.
Sure.
Like, that's how close he was to the all of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Geoffrey Chaucer, guy who wrote Canterbury Tales, a lot of dick jokes. He knew the royal family so well that they sent him to do this. He was made a PM for Kent. He was, like, in charge of the, like, forestry, ministry of forestry and stuff.
You said PM, and I'm like, project manager?
No.
MP, not PM, MP, MP.
Okay.
I thought, prime minister.
Not prime minister, MP, minister of parliament.
Okay.
He's an MP of Kent. He's, like, part of, the parliament, like, committees, like, he's in all of that stuff at the time of King Richard, at the time of Henry V, Henry IV, Henry V, stuff like that. The Peasants' Revolt. You're all familiar with the Peasants' Revolt, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wat Tyler leads the peasants against Richard II when he's a teenager. The Peasants' Revolt enters London through one of the gates. Geoffrey Chaucer's apartment was above that gate.
Okay.
The Peasants' Revolt, like, fucking went past his house. Geoffrey Chaucer's the fucking Forrest Gump of the 1300s. Like, he's in all of this stuff.
Right.
He's so... It's bonkers. Like, how intertwined all of this shit is. That's
fucking crazy pants.
Yeah, isn't it? Wow, I love it so much.
I love that.
But nobody knew. Nobody, like, Geoffrey Chaucer, he wrote the Canterbury Tales. Literally, that's all anybody knows. But he was
had to wipe C-3PO's mind.
Yeah, the last poem Geoffrey Chaucer ever wrote was to the royal, like, the king.
Oh.
Mm.
And it was complaining that he hadn't received his pension yet.
Huh.
And it was entitled A Complaint of the Purse. That was his last poem he ever wrote.
I think I know that one, actually.
Viscerally.
Yeah, but like in actuality.
Yes.
I'm like, wait a minute, I think I know that one.
That's a fucking, like, scream.
Yeah, just a fucking spiderweb of all of that shit happening all at once. And again, nobody... Geoffrey Chaucer's the guy who wrote the thing. No, he was intimately involved in the politics and the royal families of that era, which is just crazy.
I mean, good work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can get it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
neat.
Yeah. Also just the fact that, like, he was now brother-in-law to John of Gaunt and I just fucking love that Parliament was like, no, okay, they can be legitimate, but not for succession. And then that's literally how Henry the VII becomes king and all of the kings from
and then they wrote a song about the next guy.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Henry the VII and 3/4?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, that's what I've got.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you ever wonder, like, because we have a lot of integrated friends groups?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Do you ever wonder if things like that, like if other people looking at us and our friends groups are like, well, that's weird and overlapping.
It is.
I know that they do.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, there are times where I have absolutely been talking to somebody and somebody else comes up and is like, hey, I was just like, how do you two know each other?
Oh, sure.
Like, that's basically what is going on here, just with
to the
historical
point
figures.
Where I think I talked about it on this podcast. Jax introduced me to their tattoo artist, and I was like, he looks familiar, but maybe that's not an appropriate thing to say.
I'm sorry, tattoo artists all look the same to me.
Well, no. He's talking to them about the difficulty of being Chinese American, and he even got ragged on by one of the lead actors in Voyager was like, yeah. But the guy that plays Harry Kim was like, yeah, but you know, you're half, right? And and this guy was like, okay. Just, and like went home. Something in my brain clicks over because he started talking about his favorite kind of fiction and that kind of stuff. And I was like, wait a minute. Is your last name Lee? Which, out of context.
Right.
You're not helping. Out of context,
it's making it worse.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, and Jax is like, did you just... And I was like...
I'm going somewhere with this.
Are you my childhood friend?
Oh my God.
And their tattoo artist went, oh my God, we are. And then we're just catching up and that kind of stuff. And Jax was like, oh, yeah. Well, I guess you've met my tattoo artist.
Right.
Are you my childhood friend?
Yeah.
That is...
Because he moved out to California. I didn't know that he had moved back, so I was like, it's surely a coincidence
that this person I have not seen
in 15 years or more.
I know, James. No, we get that. We understand that part. You're explaining the wrong part. Are you my childhood friend?
Right. I used to buy his comic books that he made by hand before he moved to California to write novelizations of The Dark Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and
nice.
Work with Brian Henson on things for the TV series, and then start his own set of novels in a different universe.
Right.
And then I guess moved back here to pick up a different career as my spouse's tattoo artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only your spouse's tattoo artist.
Yeah. I mean, that is a very niche market, okay?
He is just getting started, so their tattoo is one of his first tattoos that he did as a professional.
Mm.
Which is an obscene coincidence. Yes.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
And this is how life goes.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, and I've had instances. I was thinking more of like the outsider perspective,
sure.
Like outside of how we circle. But I mean, I've definitely had things like that too. Yeah. Like the theater world, it happens. I was talking with somebody for a good half an hour, and he was like, well, it was really good to see you again, Jenna. And I'm like, again?
What?
Like, I thought about it, and 3 days later, I was like, oh, shit, I played opposite him in a show.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yep.
I was like, that's awkward.
Well, I've definitely had times where, with movies, stars, or things like that, where I've been like, oh, that's that person.
Right.
Like, in a funny thing happened on the way to the forum, the movie made with Zero Mostel.
Yeah.
The old man is played by Buster Keaton. And I knew, I knew the old man is Buster Keaton.
Yeah.
Great. And I love Buster Keaton.
Sure.
Fucking love Buster Keaton. Steamboat Bill Jr.
Absolutely.
Goddamn.
Yeah.
One of the best movies ever fucking made. Like, and it was embarrassingly recent where I went, oh, it's that Buster Keaton. Like, for some reason, the old man in this musical and this young man in the black and white movies
They weren't quite...
They weren't smushing.
Exactly, and so, until I finally went, oh my God, it is the same person.
It was far more embarrassing.
Embarrassing?
Embarrassing.
Yes.
The way that I pronounce embarrassing.
The embarrassing bears?
I had been watching...
Love those stories.
Only in this reality.
Yes.
Everywhere else, they're the embarrassing
yes.
bears. I had watched a lot of Blackadder as a young man, and then years later watched House, and then watched Blackadder again, and it was only at that moment that I connected. Those are the same Hugh Laurie.
Oh, mm-hmm. Sure.
The foppish idiot.
Yep.
And House.
And House, yeah.
They're the same fucking guy.
Yep.
Right.
Because I had not, at that point in time, I had not seen a bit of Fry and Laurie.
Sure, yeah,
It would be after that that I started catching up on all of that. But yeah. Mm. Fuck.
Yeah, well, no.
Mind-blowing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, things like that happen to me all the time, but I can't see faces very well. So for me, I'm just like, oh, is that the same guy? Like, it's why I can't watch military movies. Because all of the white dudes look exactly alike.
Yeah. You know what? As someone who can see faces...
Right. I was about to say, it's hard for people who can distinguish them.
Yep.
For me, I'm just lost. Like, if there isn't... If one of them isn't wearing a red scarf or something to let me know who's who, I'm just
carrying
done.
An umbrella?
Yeah.
And, but like I said, it wasn't so even a face thing. It was just like, I knew that this was Buster Keaton.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
My brain went, that is Buster Keaton.
Sure. Yeah.
And my brain went, that is Buster Keaton. But it just could not bridge that. Yeah.
Yeah?
Sure.
So.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That sort of thing. So, yeah, history is full of all sorts of those little weird things. But the whole Geoffrey Chaucer thing, like, really threw me for a loop when
I think that's fucking fantastic.
Got suddenly, not only, like I said, it wasn't even just say, like, you know, oh, yeah, he once walked through a town that you know, Richard II had walked through the day before. Like, it wasn't even one of those, like, it was like, they would, like, if you have a day in the life of Richard II, like, he's standing just off screen. Like, he is fucking right there, but you never... Which baffles me.
He's shitting in the same toilet.
I have watched so many fucking movies and documentaries and stories about Richard II and, you know, Henry and all this stuff like that, and not a single fucking one says, oh, and by the way, who's hanging out literally in the same room is Geoffrey Chaucer.
Chaucer comes busting into that part of the castle like Kramer entering Seinfeld's apartment.
Yeah.
Just slides in.
He's in the same goddamn room, and nobody has ever mentioned that?
No.
What?
Yeah. I think that's fucking
awesome. Blew my fucking mind. I was so angry.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, that's I'm going to float on that
wonderful
fact
historical fact. So I appreciate it.
I am so happy for
anyway.
You.
Does anybody have any shout outs?
I would like to give a shout out to the Boothies. I had such a lovely time this weekend.
Yeah.
And James too, I suppose.
Yeah. I would like to give a shout out to the Girl Scout camp for making us all feel welcome. Hmm. For letting us do this annually. And it feels meaningful and important. Yes.
I do need to give a bonus shout out to Julia, the cook.
Yes.
Who was just the so best. Intense. Oh my God. She was like
delight.
Gym teacher levels of intense. Yeah. I don't know how to explain this. She was.
I love it.
She was the softball coach.
She used her mom voice on
you. Mom voice isn't right. It's coach voice.
Okay.
Absolutely, it's coach voice. In the way where it's like, it's almost more intimidating than mom in some ways.
Teacher voice.
Yeah.
At one point she stepped out of the kitchen and she was like, people aren't taking enough food. And I was like, I'm only on my first trip. She's good.
Oh my God.
I'm going to give my shout out again to all the people who went to the Janesville Renaissance Festival and came and saw my show. You just made the day in general awesome to all the people that came and to all the performers and the vendors and everything like that. I really love that festival. It's just such a fun little one. I really, really love it. And I'm glad it keeps doing what it's doing. And it's all because of the people that show up. Does anybody have anything to plug?
You want to go first, and then I'll go?
Sure. I'm in the Juneville show.
That's what I figured.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's pirate-themed.
Yarr.
It is rated R.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like that. That's that's cute. That's adorable. James and I are doing a thing.
Mm-hmm.
For Convergence this year, we will both be co-hosting our party room, our daytime hours party room, the Jasmine Dragon. It is an Avatar The Last Airbender universe fan base room.
Mm-hmm.
And we will have coffee and tea like we've had other years.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have some iced tea and some lemonade for the kiddos. And we will be, of course, playing Avatar The Last Airbender. However, we're doing something different this year.
Mm-hmm.
We are splitting into two rooms. There will be the front room with the coffee and everything set up.
Mm-hmm.
And also games and conversation. Mm-hmm. And it'll be a nice little community hangout type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will be utilizing the back room this year.
For gambling and opium.
Yes.
Awesome.
Or. For chill cartoon watching, coloring, crafts, just kind of more quiet time.
Okay, that's way better.
Yeah.
Okay.
For an all ages.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Room
yeah. Okay.
Specifically.
For a daytime. Which,
yeah, for a daytime. Room. The opium comes out at night.
Okay.
Got it. Now I have concerns. It's the Jasmine Dragon.
Yeah. Plural. Yeah.
We're no chasing the Jasmine Dragon.
Mm-mm. Yep. I chose not to look too deeply into this.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, we are expanding.
Plausible deniability. Good choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that does also mean that we have some more costs. It is pricier to utilize the full room because there's furniture removal.
Mm-hmm.
There's for some, they have to find somewhere else to sleep. There's a lot less storage. It's harder to do it this way.
For sure.
We do have our fundraiser, just launched the other day.
Mm-hmm.
It would be lovely to, get some of those costs offset. It all comes out of my pocket. So anything that people want to donate to help my pocket, that would be lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Put more stuff in the pocket, so when it comes out of the pocket, there's more.
Yeah, relative. Yeah. I'm just looking for balance in the universe, you guys. So that fundraiser's gone up, and we will post a link to that.
Hell yeah.
If you cannot contribute,
mm-hmm.
no hard feelings, but...
Mm-hmm.
If you can share it and convince others to share it, it is. I do think that we provide a nice little community service by we are the first party room open.
Mm-hmm.
We are the earliest party room open
mm-hmm.
every day.
Mm-hmm.
You all sleep in. And I think it's important to have something going on at that time and have that early morning space to be able to kind of casually wake up. So. Mm-hmm. We'll link the fundraiser, donate and or share, and let others know too. It is pricier this year and
in this economy.
Right.
Exactly.
I had serious contemplations about it earlier. I was like, are we even doing this? But
In about 2 weeks, June 6th, Casimir will be at Fire in the Shire, which is in Alma, Wisconsin. It's a one-day festival, and it's only about an hour and a half from the Twin Cities. So it's really not, like, that terrible. Like, it is a fun one. They have I've talked about this ad nauseum. They've got a fucking museum that's so fucking cool. Go see it. go see it. It's a little fun little festival, and I love it, and I adore it, and you should, too.
Wonderful.
So there.
Yeah.
There. That's what I got. Does anybody have any final thoughts?
Bye-bye. I love you. Bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who listens to this show. If you would like to send in a Fast Five for us to do, go ahead and go to aonpodcast.com, click on Submit a Fast Five, and fill out the form. Ooh. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
I want to blame you, and normally I do blame you, but I
just go.
I'm pretty sure this is actually my fault.
Oh shit!
We've got it on tape.
Oh, no!